Kyrie tonight will be number 155, so you have to kind of flip through to make sure that you're on the right page. 155, the first Kyrie, we'll do it in Greek. Kyrie, eleison, will be three-part Higher Voices or Women, SSA, Higher Voices or Women. Christe will be TTB or Guy Voices, Lower Voices. And then the Kyrie again, everyone all together in six parts. Let's try just a little bit of it. Two, ladies, two, three, and. Oh, yeah. Oh, that'll never do. The choir's doing it all, so you guys have to, over here, I want to hear you. Ah, two, three. So when we do things like this, I'll be the song leader. Rather than leading from the piano or the organ, I'll be leading with my hands. And when I do this, it means get louder, all right? Guys, let's try you. Two, three. Christe. Save the glorious Russian Orthodox sounding six parts for the actual liturgy. Number 171 is our gospel acclamation, our response, hallelujah. We'll do it in the English version rather than, or the Hebrew version actually, hallelujah rather than hallelujah. And what I'll do is hallelujah, and then you all start, okay? Hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. In three-part round, okay? So we'll do that. Then our Sanctus this evening is 525, which is one of my all-time favorites. Who can resist a samba written by a Swedish Lutheran priest? So those of you who have been in synodical assemblies and that sort of thing, which I've done quite a lot of, you know, this could go on forever. Because you do part one, and then you do part two, and then you can do part one, part two, split up. But in the context of the liturgy, when you're doing it as the Sanctus, it fits a liturgical purpose, so it doesn't need to go on forever, nor should it. So what we'll do is this. Everyone together will sing part one at the top. Everyone together will sing part two at the top. Then you pick either one, part one or part two, and we sing that once. Okay? So everybody part one, everybody part two, and then either part one or two, and then it's done.
Off English with that. Yeah.
We begin with Confession and Forgiveness on page 94 in the front of your hymnals. Page 94, we'll read it from the font. As you are able. Page 94 in the very front.
No, I said I'm moving away.
Okay. Here you go. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, who forgives all our sins, whose mercy endures forever.
Amen.
Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Gracious God, have mercy on us.
We confess that we have turned from you and given ourselves into the power of sin. We are truly sorry and humbly repent. In your compassion, forgive us our sins, known and unknown, things we have done and things we have failed to do. Turn us again to you and uphold us by your Spirit, so that we may live and serve you in the newness of life, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and
God, who is rich in mercy, loved us even when we were dead in sin and made us alive together in Christ. By grace you have been saved. In the name of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. Almighty God, strengthen you with power through the Holy Spirit, that Christ may live in your hearts through faith.
Amen.
The hymn is number 522, 522. Have your hymnals open to the Kyrie number 151. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Thank you.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. God of blessing, you are the source, the guide, and the goal of our lives. Teach us to love what is worth loving and to treasure what is precious in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Amen. You may be seated.
First reading is found in Ecclesiastes. Vanity of vanities, says the teacher. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. I, the teacher, when king over Israel in Jerusalem, applied my mind to seek and to search out by wisdom all that is done under heaven. It is an unhappy business that God has given to human beings to be busy with. I saw all the deeds that are done under the sun, and see, all is vanity and a chasing after wind. I hated all my toil in which I had toiled under the sun, seeing that I must leave it to those who come after me. And who knows whether they will be wise or foolish. Yet they will be master of all for which I toiled and used my wisdom under the sun. This also is vanity. So I turned and gave my heart up to despair concerning all the toil of my labors under the sun. Because sometimes one who has toiled with wisdom and knowledge and skill must leave all to be enjoyed by another who did not toil for it. This also is vanity and a great evil. What do mortals get from all the toil and strain with which they toil under the sun? For all their days are full of pain, and their work is a vexation. Even at night, their minds do not rest. This also is vanity. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God. Tonight we'll be reading the psalm together. It's Psalm 49. You can find it in front of your ELW for the hymns. We'll keep the division simple tonight and just say those of us like myself with low voices will read the odd number verses and the even number verses will be the high voices in the congregation. And we will be ending at verse 12, so verses 1 through 12. Hear this, all you peoples, give ear, all you who dwell in the world.
Wisdom, and my heart shall meditate on understanding.
I will incline my ear to a proverb and set forth my riddle upon my heart.
Why should I be afraid in evil days when the wickedness of those at my heels surrounds me?
The wickedness of those who trust in their own prowess and boast of their great riches.
One can never redeem another, or give to God the ransom for another's life.
For the ransom of life is so great that there would never be enough to pay it.
In order to live forever and ever to see the grave.
For we see that the wise die also, like the dull and stupid they perish, and leave their wealth to those who come after them.
Their graves shall be their homes forever, their dwelling places from generation to generation, though they have named lands after themselves.
Even though honored, they cannot live forever. They are like the beasts that perish.
Thank you.
A reading from Colossians. So if you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever in you is earthly: fornication, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming on those who are disobedient. These are the ways you also once followed, when you were living that life. But now you must get rid of all such things: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive language from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have stripped off the old self with its practices and have clothed yourselves with the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge according to the image of its creator. In that renewal, there is no longer Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, and free, but Christ is all and in all. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God. Hymn number 171, we stand.
Hallelujah.
Chapter 12. Someone in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." But Jesus replied, "Friend, who set me to be a judge or arbitrator over you?" And Jesus said to them, "Take care, be on your guard against all kinds of greed, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." Then he told them a parable. The land of a rich man produced abundantly. And he thought to himself, "What should I do? For I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life is being demanded of you. And the things you have prepared, whose will they be?' So it is with those who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich toward God." Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you for bringing us safely to the close of this day. You pour forth your extravagant bounty without measure upon your whole creation. Teach us such generosity that the fruits of our lives and the works of our hands may be used in your community of blessing. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Dear friends in Christ, God's grace and peace be with you this night and always. Amen. When you head for Holden over these beautiful Cascade Mountains from the west, you might drive over US 2 over Stevens Pass. Paul and Carol, how many times have you driven US 2 in the last 5 years?
Thousands.
Yeah. One of the little communities you drive through when you do that is called Gold Bar. Every time I drive it, I'm intrigued and curious about a little dark green building with purple trim on the north side of the road at the very east end of the town. I'm seeing some people kind of going, oh yeah. The hand-painted sign above the building reads, Vitality Christian Center. This is a really small building. It looks to be smaller than a freight container. Sometimes there's a car parked outside, sometimes not. I've never seen any people at all. There's not much room for parking or for much of anything else. I always wonder what happens in the Vitality Christian Center and how vital can it really be? Now, the way I look at that building is influenced by my own perceptions and understandings of church. Where's the parking? What's their theology? What kind of outreach can a little place like that have? Are they hoping to have a bigger church? A bigger barn? I always catch myself in those thoughts. What is vital there must be the work of God in and through the few people who can get into that little building. And it just might be enough. Maybe they don't need a parking lot for 123 cars. And maybe their prayers and their song and their life in the gospel reach far beyond the tiny confines of the hand-painted Vitality Christian Center. Jesus is addressing exactly those kinds of perceptions in our gospel tonight. He wants his hearers and us to think about what we really need. In the story, a man comes to him and says, I need my inheritance. Jesus right away tells him that his inheritance is not Jesus' business. He is not an arbiter of personal property. And then he says a very important thing, the sentence that is the core of this teaching from Jesus. One's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions. Put that on a billboard outside the Mall of America. This is a word we need to hear. We are not defined by our possessions. And Jesus goes on to tell a parable about how ourselves are defined. He talks about someone who's done very well. There are abundant crops, more than the farmer can sell or deal with or store. And it looks good for the future. If he only knows he has this stash put away in his barn, then it's safe. Then he can really enjoy himself. Eat, drink, and be merry, as he says. Bigger barns mean bigger profits, which mean better comfort for this man and his family. It looks like a future of hope and promise. But Jesus, in his story, throws a ringer in what looks like a logical conclusion. God calls this rich man a fool. A fool for thinking that whatever he sets aside for himself somehow defines who he is. The word Jesus uses for soul life here is very important. It's the Greek word psyche, which means your entire self. It's not just your physical body or something like that. It's your entire self. Where does your self belong? In the bigger barns with your possessions? Or is there a better place for yourself, perhaps rich towards God, as Jesus says? It is interesting how in this parable, the rich man refers only to himself. There are 7 pronouns that are either I or my or a reference to himself. He's thinking of nothing outside of himself. And Jesus calls him and us to think otherwise. One's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions. And I think we know it's really easy to be seduced by wealth and greed. And you don't even need to be wealthy or greedy to be vulnerable. Anytime you think yourself is defined by what you have, how you feel, who you know, where you live, or how you live, you are susceptible to the same trap as the farmer in Jesus' parable. It's easy to think for ourselves of the times when we outreached our credit limits to that one thing we thought would really make us special, or to pat ourselves on the back for having achieved a certain status or another rung on the ladder of how our culture defines success. But Jesus wants us to understand that the place where our whole self finds its life is in the gifts of its creator. Whatever we achieve or own, whatever our gain or loss, God's life can never be taken away from us. And a life lived in thanksgiving for God's gifts make our own gifts, blessings and grace, and not something we just have to preserve for an unknown future. One's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions. St. Paul nails it in our text from Colossians when he writes that greed is idolatry. Our over-concern for our own self-made assurance makes whatever we see as defining ourselves as our God. Even Holden Village can be that kind of substitute God. But the good news tonight is that God's grace does not depend on our doing or how we look or who we know or what we own. One's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions. Our lives consist in the abundance of God's grace. And so this gift to God to us in Christ is that we are no longer focused on ourselves. This is really good news. Just as God turned outward in love to us in Jesus, so we are called to be turned outward from ourselves to others with the gracious blessing we have from God. And when we have the opportunity to be generous, we can do it. And when we need to receive the generosity of others, we can do that too. In Colossians, Paul gives us other promises for our lives and for ourselves. We are raised with Christ, Paul writes, and we're raised together, all of us, with Christ. It is a wonderful image Paul gives from baptism, like coming out of the waters of the font, all joined together and with new clothing and a fresh look at each other. No more stereotypes, no more fears, all one. Paul writes, you have clothed yourselves with the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge according to the image of its creator. In that renewal, there is no longer Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave and free, but Christ is all and in all. One's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions, nor does it consist in what we assume about the other, whether it is faith or wealth or life or race or sexuality or what I might think about the Vitality Christian Center in Goldbarn. Tonight we come to this table of the present feast of God. There is no larger barn needed here. All the abundance of God's grace is given in the death and resurrection of Jesus, and it's all right here, right now, for you and for me and for all God's people. This feast really is eat, drink, and be merry. Right in this place and at this table are forgiveness and love abounding. This is the place where we can, for the briefest moment, know the joys of being sisters and brothers in Christ. And we can, from this table, take our newly renewed merry hearts into the world God made and be the love that God intends for it. Amen. Amen. And the hymn number up there, please.
678.
The hymn is 678. Please stand if you are able.
Thank you.
Gathered together as God's people in Christ Jesus, let us pray for the church, those in need, and all of God's creation. God, whose giving knows no ending, help us always to treasure the life we have in you above all else. We thank you for Jesus, for his death on the cross, and for being joined to him in resurrection. As we gather at the feast you give, grant us merry hearts overflowing with thanksgiving for your forgiving love. Gracious God,
hear our prayer.
God, embracing all humanity in freedom and love, we pray that kindness, peace, understanding, health, and abundance may grow and blossom in all the earth. From the gifts of our lives, make us generous and articulate witnesses to your life in the world you love so much. Help us live in the unity we have in you. Gracious God,
hear our prayer.
O God, from whom all blessings flow, in the midst of our own abundance, make us ever mindful of the needs of others, both close to us and around the world. Open wide our hands to share what we have been given. Gracious God,
hear our prayer.
God of these forests and mountains, we pray for everyone near the current fires. We pray especially for the firefighters. Keep them safe and watch over the people who live in threatened areas. Gracious God,
hear our prayer.
God of this valley, we pray for this village, for all who work here, for all who come here for the refreshment of their lives. Make us faithful proclaimers of all your promises in our words and actions. Gracious God, for what else do the people of God pray?
Pray for Renee and all the survivors of the earthquake in Haiti. Give them daily grief counseling and help, new hearts. And give them Lord of your
peace.
Pray, Lord, for Luz Maria Cabrera, that you would be with her family as they surround her in her illness, that you would be with physicians and surgeons as they prepare to remove her aneurysm. Lord, in your mercy.
We give thanks for the healing you brought to Mark Roa with his new kidney and for the great gift of his donor. We pray that you will continue to grant them renewed life and healing. Gracious God,
hear our prayer.
God, I pray for my friend Elizabeth. May she find common minds with her doctors this next week, and may they rush her to treatment so that she can go on the medication that she's wanted with her family. God, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Lord, we pray for all families with addictions, alcoholism, recovery. We give thanks for, Lord, in your mercy.
Pray for those in jail or prison. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Into your hands, O God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ, our Savior.
Amen.
The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Another with a sign of peace. Thank you.
offered offertory is 583. You may sing or refrain in Spanish or English as you desire. Remember the refrain comes after every verse except the last.
Please stand your name.
God of mercy and grace, the eyes of all wait upon you, and you open your hand in blessing. Fill us with good things at your table, that we may come to the help of all in need. Through Jesus Christ, our Redeemer and Lord. Amen.
You might like to have your hymnals open to 171, 1525. Open your books to 525 so you're ready for the song too. Sorry about that. 525. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places offer thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Thank you.
alone are holy, you alone are God. The universe declares your praise beyond the stars, beneath the sea, within each cell, with every breath. Generations bless your faithfulness. Through the water, by night and day, across the wilderness, out of exile, into the future, we give you thanks for your dear Son, at the heart of human life, near to those who suffer, beside the sinner, among the poor, with us now. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people, for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering his love for us on the way at the table to the end, we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. We pray for the gift of your Spirit in our gathering within this meal among your people throughout the world. Blessing, praise, and thanks to you, Holy God, through Christ Jesus, by your Spirit in your church, without end. Amen. You're invited to pray the Lord's Prayer in whatever way is most familiar and comforting to you. We pray for all things we need in the words Jesus taught us. Our Father. This is Christ's table and not our own. All are welcome to the feast of life. Come, for all is prepared. Please stand as you are able. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in God's grace.
Amen. Let us pray. God, our Creator, at this table you have satisfied us with the good things of your grace. Fix our hearts on your mercy and truth, that our lives may reflect your love for all creation. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
The hymn is number 538. 538.
Go in peace, serve the living God.
Thanks be to God.